This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, voicemail lady. This is the Jason phone call. Coordinates are November 13th, 2017, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And on the call we have John Lovell, Mei Hung, Jeff Elliott, Mike Sessa, Steve Margano, Alex Jackal, and Michael Morris. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Thanksgiving, although we'll have our call next Monday as well for folks that can dial in. Michael, I saw your I think I had sent out the last version of the minutes you had sent out. I'll just hand it over to you, and we'll get started.
Okay. I'm looking for the minutes I sent out. Make sure those are the right ones. Those don't look right.
I couldn't find the ones you sent out last week. If you sent them out.
Yeah. So that's the. Where did I put those?
Those were from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, those are from 2 weeks ago. I haven't seen the ones. I'll try and see if I can remember what the new issues were that I added.
Yeah,
I'm
searching.
Computer problems here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I don't see them either. It would have been the 7th, right, or the 6th.
Right.
There's the minutes, 11:06. Yeah, those look the same. Those that says 11:06, so those must be it, right? Okay.
I didn't see those. I couldn't find those minutes.
Okay. Well, I'll send them out again. So this is the 13th. So this is correct. It's 11:06, and we were about to start with continuing looking at the XML features to determine if changes were needed, and. Right at the top of the list is my favorite, namespaces.
Woohoo!
Now, this is more of a problem for others than us because of our simplicity. We've always been a very simple organization, and therefore we use namespaces, but we don't qualify anything, and because we don't have any global elements, the only namespace tag we usually have in an exchange is the top-level tag.
Right.
So that simplifies things, but it doesn't simplify things if you have a lot of namespace and duplication. So,
and also, Michael, one of the things that came out in the conference in Toronto that I thought was extremely interesting is in talking to international people, there was like, it was like almost undisputed. It was like, oh yeah, of course we're using JSON-LD, right? Because we need to support linked data. And that was like the way they talked about it, almost like it was a given. And I think that's because probably they need to handle more diverse data sets. Right, and they have to, and so I think it behooves us. I was almost at the point where I was going to give up on JSON-LD because people have had problems with it because it's more complicated, blah blah blah. But I'm now back on the bandwagon of we just have to do JSON-LD and we just have to figure out how to make it work. Even though our current data set, it's not a requirement to transport the current test data set. If we're going to expand internationally, I think, and if we want to interact with other data groups, I think we have to have the extensibility that is allowed for in integrating linked data into our system. So that's just my current thinking.
Alex.
Yeah.
Michael here. And I would second that thought, and I have kind of presented it as sort of a hypothesis, because I've been hearing the same thing internationally as well, and that's why I haven't let JSON-LD go, is because until someone proves me wrong, the overwhelming feeling I've been getting, the same thing internationally, is, of course, it's Jason LD. This is what everybody's doing. But yet, when we talk to David Weber and other folks, it's what folks want to do, yet I'm not sure it's, what's the word? It's been widely implemented yet. So it could be at its infancy, but everybody's on board. That's you know, the same feeling I have had.
Yeah, so I'll just throw out there, at our International Technical Board meeting last week, basically Jason LD came up in the form of open link data and the metadata requirements to make it possible. But that all leads in the Jason ecosystem, right, to Jason linked data, Jason LD. And we're hearing the same thing. We've had a lot of trouble trying to support it in the past. That came, not out of what we wanted to do with it, but the infancy and the perhaps pre-infancy, perhaps they were, still in the womb, tools that were available to work with it were so incredibly limiting. So as we look at long-term what our data model should look like and what that means for our XML and JSON strategies, I'm all for at least looking at it and saying, oh, this is what it looks like to link multiple objects together with JSON, and therefore, you would think that we would move towards something that would be similar in our XML. Maybe not, but I'm willing to look at it.
Yeah, my response is, I think the one problem with JSON-LD is it sort of defeats our purpose here of what we're trying to do with JSON, to make it simple, to make it easy for programmers that are used to looking at RESTful web services and having that simplicity of hierarchy that they can pull out these little snippets and just using and they're using URLs, but there's no extra semantics. They just have a tag called URL, and so there's nothing that says you can't link data, but you also don't have to have a standard for linking data. And I think a lot of people are just saying,
I strongly disagree with that, Michael. Just, I think that's actually a false – that's actually a false equivalency, because the truth is people can do simple JSON with JSON-LD. They just don't use it. Don't embed any linked data in your – if you don't like it, don't embed any linked element in your JSON structure, and it looks exactly the same. You do need to have like a I'm going to use the wrong term, so JSON people on the call, forgive me. I'm an XML guy, not a JSON guy. But it's the equivalent of an include, right? You just have to have a thing on the top, but it's literally just like a top-line tag that you can ignore if you're not actually using any linked element. So I think it's a false cause to actually say don't use JSON-LD because people don't like it and they want to use a simple object structure. Well, then those people can use a simple object structure, and then the people that need to use linked data can use it, right? And it's not the same having the content in a tag via URL as having a machine-discoverable link that's apparent immediately to a machine that's reading the JSON that it's linked data. That's actually a different – it's a different level of processing that's required. It's much easier if it's an actual linked data thing. And so it's not the same thing. And I don't mean to be too – like, I was about ready to fold on the JSON-LD thing, even though I was – for the beginning I championed it, but I was ready to fold. But I've now heard enough from outside the U.S. app development sphere to realize I think we need to support it. And it doesn't have to complicate the JSON structure. That's just – it just makes available that. And frankly, if there is a need, if you have, say, a multi, modal linked data thing that Australia needs to generate and you can't handle it, well, then you can't interoperate with those Australian vendors or clients, right? I think that's a I think the dumbing down approach of it is, I think, too strong. I think we need to make it available to people in a simple way, but that doesn't mean we have to not be able to handle the more complex use cases. Now, I don't mean to be so, I feel like I'm being a little too strong about it, but I really think this, the argument that it has to be simple for these, you know, people that don't want to handle any complexity, it, Jason LV can be simple for those people. And, but it does mean that there may be people that adhere to the standard who then make it more difficult for those people because they do use linked data. But that's not a problem. That's not our problem. That's a problem that the space actually has complexity that these app developers don't like, and that's their problem, not ours, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm looking at the keywords within JSON-LD, and there's a lot of stuff that makes it so it's not JSON. It's you're having keywords. It's sort of like JSON schema, but JSON schema is an application of JSON. This is, again, an application. And, you know, context, ID, value, language, type, container, list, set, reverse, index, base, vocabulary, graph, and these are all at signed version. So they're all you're doing is you're taking JSON and creating a bunch of keywords, right, that have particular functions. So,
correct.
Those keywords then can't be used in other contexts, I would suspect. You may be able to interpret them within a context. But, and so what you're doing is you're adding a bunch of keywords. And is this the, and of course there's a multitude of ways of adding keywords to JSON. We've done it with JSON schema. That's a different, that's got its own keywords, right, that it uses to describe JSON itself.
Well, but the JSON schema is a different animal entirely, right? JSON schema is exactly equivalent to XML schema. It's just a language for
right.
Setting the expectations for schema, for a JSON object, right? It's just saying this is what, this. It's like almost like a design template for a JSON object, right? Not a,
It's another application it's an application of JSON where the meaning of the words is known in advance and specified. And so you have to understand what those words mean if you see them in a JSON schema. When you're looking at JSON, there are no words that have specific meanings outside
transfer. But JSON schema, now maybe we might be running into a linguistic problem, Michael, and this may be my ignorance, but a JSON schema is not like another version of JSON. A JSON schema is a validation structure that you use so that when a simple JSON object comes across, you can validate that it's conformant to the design you're looking for.
Right.
That's what
that's all I'm saying. It's another application. If you do an application within one of these, within JSON, let's say, or XML. XSLT is another application in XML, right? It's got a set of keywords that are used. It's got a set of namespaces. It's got, and that's all we're doing here. But so this is another application. It's not pure JSON. It's an application of JSON, and we're using it just like XSLT or something else, but we're saying it's the base. It's the base.
But JSON LD. But here's where I'm getting confused. I don't understand when you say application. I think a software, a piece of software someone designed to do something, right? That's what I hear when you say the word application. So maybe we're using that word differently.
About XSLT. That's a language, right? We can call it a language. It's a language using XML, right? That has particular keywords that have
right.
particular semantics or meaning.
Absolutely. XSLT is the language that makes up XML schemas.
But I mean XSLT as a transform. I mean, there's other transforms, right, that have been written in XML. And that's what I'm saying is that this doesn't – but those all – there's a whole set of those languages or applications that are just, and JSON-LD is creating its own set. It's like an application. It's
no,
like
it's different.
SLT. Because
you know,
it's adding
it is,
keywords.
It's
adding semantics.
Actually, it's a little different, though. Here's the difference. An XML schema, right, and XSLT transforms XML objects, right? XML objects, depending on what version, say you use the most recent versions of XML, right, support internal to the object, there are structures where you can use namespacing. JSON-LD is more like an XML object with namespacing than it is like XSLT or XML schemas. They're different. JSON schemas are like XML schemas. JSON-LD is like XML objects with namespacing, right? They're not. I could be really being stupid here, right, Michael? And someone shut me down if I am, right? Those are not the same thing. XML
The analogy I'm doing, Alex, is basically that you take raw XML rules and you can then take those tags or those elements and give them specific meaning that tells processors how to process them. And that's
correct.
What JSON-LD is doing here. It's not using base JSON. It's adding semantics to certain kinds of tags and certain kinds of structures. And that's fine.
Right, but you understand Alex's point, right? Alex's point is it's doing it in amongst the data, right? It's not an external thing like a schema or a transform. It's in the middle of the data we have this meaning from that.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
And one of the things is if you took an XML object that used namespacing, and you tried to process it with an XML processor before they added namespacing to XML, the processor would break. That's my point. JSON-LD is actually a new type of JSON. And if you have to support JSON-LD, it's a fundamental difference. It's not just like a different flavor of language that you can use sometimes and sometimes you can't. No, you sort of have to, if you're committing to JSON-LD, by the way, I'm for this. I think we have to commit to JSON-LD. But if you commit to JSON-LD, you're actually saying that any processor that handles our JSON needs to at least be able to understand that there might be these LD verbs, LD language structures in the JSON. And that's okay. You can ignore them, but you can't break because they're there, right? That has to become the
right.
Conform JSON will now include those LD structures if we go this way. And that's different than saying, oh, I can actually execute an XSLT transform against this XML object and change it to something else or handle it in a different way. No, we're actually saying we're actually creating new rules. And we're not doing it, by the way. The international community is doing it. JSON-LD is not like a rogue element. It's a very strongly, we're just picking of the various flavors as a standard. We're going to have to pick what flavor we support. And I think I'm advocating the flavor of JSON we pick is the JSON-LD flavor, not the vanilla JSON flavor.
Right.
And that's the conversation we're having.
To be fair, right, if I'm ordering an ice cream cone, the flavor is a pivotal aspect, right? It's gonna melt, it's gonna soak into the ice cream cone, it's gonna shape my entire experience. Whereas, like you say, JSON-LD is more like, the sprinkles on top. I'm gonna taste them at first, but not as I continue to go through eating my ice cream cone. And if I taste them and I don't like them, well, I can, wipe them off with a napkin, and still enjoy the rest of my ice cream cone. JSON-LD is kind of like those sprinkles, right? It's just this thing that goes along with the data, it's called out, you know, really with the at symbol and then what follows below it. And, you know, it's this thing. But like you point out, Alex, if it's in there, you can use it. But also if it's in there, it's easy to ignore it. And they have their own ways to making it easy to ignore it. Interestingly, they use the at symbol, which, you know, won't work with our current conversion schemes for either of our standard bodies. That's what we currently use for attributes. So we get back to the fact that we're dropping attributes, which will lead into our namespace conversation, I'm sure. But, yeah, it's not like saying, oh, we're going to do JSON-LD tells us what our JSON looks like. It just tells us what links in our JSON looks like and some of the metadata in our JSON looks like.
Yeah,
or am I wrong?
Identify something to be linked, yes. I agree. I just, the difference is it's getting away. It's if we're assuming it's adding to JSON, we may have a split here. Here's my concern. I think, and maybe this is going to happen with the web services and what's going on there, and they may adopt JSON-LD. That's possible, but right now.
No, wait, hold on. Let me just interrupt you for a second, Michael. Just to be clear up a misconception, they already have. That's actually in the past. Web services are done with JSON-LD. JSON-LD is designed to actually work more efficiently with web services. That's why people added it. It's for the same reason XML added namespaces, right? It's designed so when you're doing a get, a pull, whatever, there's more explicit information that can be used by a RESTful service in the construction of a call than in a vanilla JSON. So it's not that JSON-LD is, oh, we'll do that or we'll do what the RESTful service community is doing. JSON-LD is what the RESTful service community is doing. They're also doing vanilla. You know, the RESTful service community is not a single homogenous thing.
Right.
There's people building simple apps and they're using super vanilla JSON. There's people using very complex things. They're using mostly JSON-LD. It's all a range. It's like a range of what your use cases are, right? But just to be very explicitly clear, this is not, oh, we have to choose what the RESTful services community is doing or something else. This is what the RESTful services community is doing.
Yeah, I'm looking at okay, let's continue that on. So what would we need to do in terms of namespaces? I'll start with your argument, Alex. What would we need to do with namespaces to make it easier to work with JSON-LD, let's say? Well, I'm getting static now. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I muted just then?
Yeah, I was.
I think you connected.
Oh, well, so linked data handles namespacing explicitly, right? So it there's nothing to do. If we take on the JSON-LD structures, then we handle namespaces automatically because it allows for the inclusion of a namespace and then tagging any of the elemental structures in the JSON as belonging to a particular namespace. So namespacing just comes along with JSON-LD. If we get JSON-LD, we have namespaces already included.
Now, how is that coded? You set up an ID, right? And is it the ID, or how do you use the namespace in JSON-LD?
They use the XSD term.
The which term?
XSD.
Oh, they actually use XSD as a. I'm confused. So you have something that you have a tag that you have marked with a namespace. How does that translate into JSON LD?
They use the XFD term.
I mean, from the namespace, they use the URI, or?
Yeah. XFD, okay. XFD colon URI.
But how would the tag be? I mean, so you have a property, and it's a property that in XML is an element that has a namespace prefix. So that you'd still put the prefix on the name.
It's done like the default namespace in XML, right, Alex? It's like XMLNS.
That's my understanding, but someone who's more versed than I am in the actual how to do it, I've seen it. It actually looks a lot like XML with namespaces, right? There's prefix, and then the thing is tagged with a prefix, and the prefix is identified in the beginning of the file. That's my understanding, and that's what it looks like to me when I've seen it. It's better to ask someone who's more of an expert at that than me on that. But that's what I've seen. That's what it looks like. It looks almost identical to how XML handles namespaces.
Right, and then what you can do on an individual field is you can type it based on the current namespace.
So the type would be namespace typing, yeah. I'm going to have to take a look at that, see how that works. So does that make it look like, I mean, how would you use that, the namespacing concept? And that's, again, we're trying to say we want to make the XML and the JSON so they look alike and so that a JSON programmer would recognize it as just pure JSON LD, let's say. So how would that work? Would the translation with the colon and the prefix, is that something that you would see in a normal, somebody starting from scratch creating JSON?
If they're using JSON LD, yes. I think that wouldn't be, of all the issues we have about JSON programmers concerned about style, that would be the least of our worries, because I think the JSON LD, if you built JSON LD from scratch and you had two different sources, right, linked sources, then that you would code it the same way. You would create a prefix and you would attach that to the element and you'd use that as an identifier. So I think anyone who knows how to use JSON LD would not blink at that. So that I think that might be a direct translation. And the only reason you hear me hesitating is just because I've seen it. I've looked at JSON LD with that kind of structure in it. It looks very familiar to me. But there could be some weird quirk. You know how that goes, right? When you get the devil in the details, there could be some weird quirk that I'm not aware of. So if there's anyone on the call with more expertise, I'd appreciate validation of that opinion.
Yeah, on a value-by-value basis, I don't see that. I've never seen that out. Oh, there it is. Well, is that it? Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Well, that's weird.
So, John, what are you seeing?
I'm seeing what Alex described, but how they do it in JSON LD is a little kind of odd. They just define a tag and give it a value, and that value is the URI, and then they use that tag to qualify, the next element in that shorthand kind of way. I mean, I think we need to get back to kind of what you were talking about initially, Michael. That for us, namespaces are simple because we pretty much just declare one at the top and use it.
Right. Use the prefix all.
Yeah. where, you know, yeah, we don't, you know, and that's usually what you see in SIF, you know, on the wire, right? I mean,
right.
Because, I mean, we're basically the same way. You know, if you do qualify everything, well, you know, your XML parser just takes care of that for you. But yeah, I feel like we don't, we very much, in the past, we've tried to leverage namespaces, and the XML tool support is just too inconsistent, especially when you get into schemas, how they interact and how they work. So, I mean, there's lots of things you can do pretty simply in XML that you can't do once you layer on the XSTs namespaces. And it's not that it can't be done, it's just that the tool support's really wonky. So I don't want to overcomplicate things. I guess what I'm more concerned about at this point is what JSON-LD is going to require us to do, if anything, around qualifying things.
Yeah, I'm still, I'd have to, I really need to do the research because I really don't understand how that works. So, see how that works with JSON-LD. Oh, here it is. Okay, example, theme. Yeah, they're typing. That would be another, I should add that to the type. We have certain standards for naming conventions. They're using types, and they don't call them types. They don't add type to the end of the name. So that's clearly something.
Well, they do add types into the name everywhere I'm looking, which, you know, this is something that I've yet to comprehend. Maybe there's some JSON expert on the line, but, you know, why would it be desirable to declare the type alongside the data? It just, you know, they talk about XML being less efficient on the wire and being too verbose, and, you know, I'm sure hoping a lot of this JSON-LD stuff is, you know, optional and used judiciously when
yeah.
needed.
Well, I think what this shows, this discussion, is that if we are going to take JSON-LD as a hypothesis, and I think in order for us to understand what the implications are for XML, we have to understand JSON-LD better. So,
yeah.
Because that's where we're coming to an end here. We're saying, okay, namespace, how do we do that, and what's the implications, and we're not quite sure. Because we're not very knowledgeable with JSON-LD. So I think we need to develop some knowledge there and skills. And probably just maybe homework for next week is everybody going out there and start looking at this literature and try and learn it themselves. And
yeah. So, I mean, on the namespace question, it's interesting for us, right? Because it is conveyed in an attribute. On the XML side, there's really good reasons to at least have something there on the XML side. You know, you typically don't want to just publish XML without it being namespace qualified. You know, having it be at that point just a body of XML that doesn't involve a lot of other namespaces has advantages to it, but there's also advantages to saying, hey, this big blob that you're getting, you understand it like this. I mean, in the SIF 3 world, it's even you understand it like this with this version number, so you know what you're getting, you know what you can load up and validate it with and be confident of what you're getting. You know, it's good that there's something there in JSON-LD and we should understand it better, but from the whole, you know, well, we're not going to have any attributes point of view, I think this is going to have to be, you know, an exception to the rule on the XML side. I think it is going to have to be there as an attribute because that's how it's conveyed as a default, and you don't want to, well, or qualify or declare what you're qualifying it as. So I think we're going to need to have some provision for namespace on the XML side. You know, what do we do on that JSON side? I think, yeah, let's better understand JSON-LD and talk through it. From a non-JSON-LD perspective, you know, we either need to figure out, you know, our own special place to put it and have that information. If you look at most JSON APIs, the closest equivalent is usually some kind of version tag, right? They don't have a full namespace, but most of your simple JSON-based APIs have got at least a, hey, you're talking to version 1.1 of, you know, the Amazon API or the Google API or whatever it might be.
Or maybe done at the endpoints as well. So that's the other method, is versioning of the endpoints, because that's instead of it, the whole. I mean, you can version the whole API, but you can also version each of the endpoints and have multiple endpoints that have different versions that perform the same function.
Okay. But yeah, this is a small problem, but it's something that has to be dealt with gracefully.
Yeah, There's no doubt we have to have namespaces. I mean, I guess we're not. I think the assumption is that we're taking all our excess data types, excess string, excess Boolean, and not putting the namespace on them, right? But because there's a Boolean type, that's one of the base types in JSON. There's a text in JSON. So, but we don't have the variety. You know, I would assume we wouldn't bring all those base types over, even and with their namespace, or I don't think there's any mechanism of defining those, are there? And you can do max and min, and yeah, I guess you can do more.
Well, if you take JSON-LD to the nth degree, I think you do get into that kind of stuff. JSON schema, you know, doesn't go beyond that, right? You can define your structure very well, and you can use the base types, but you can't go and say, oh, well, this field is an enumeration, and this field has a regex that looks like this, and this field, I don't know if they do min and max length or not.
Yeah, they can do that.
But,
they can do, well, min and
yeah,
max values on numbers, yeah. You can do
okay.
Min and max.
So they have mins and maxes, but, you know,
yeah.
JSON schema very much is a replacement for XML schema in that sense, but they aren't 100% aligned. That's probably a good thing. XSDs get very, very complex. So, yeah, I think we need to better understand JSON-LD and how it fits in. I mean, what we did in SIF 2 was we had a namespace and a version number that were separate. And as I look at the JSON-backed APIs that are out there that have that version number, and that being fairly common, I think that might be a good approach for us. And then what do we do about that namespace? You know, another thing. Do we just not convey it on JSON and say, well, you're talking to the endpoint, you know what it is? Do we convey it, but, you know, not as an attribute? Do we put it in a special field? Are we following, you know, some JSON-LD convention? There's some options there. But, yeah, calling out the version, I think, would be useful. But, you know, if you've got other schemes, happy to consider them.
So, yeah, I think this, I mean, with the argument that we're probably going with JSON-LD, I think we do, our plans have to change because, I mean, the list I have is taking the simple JSON, seeing how we can take our XML, make it as simple as possible, and then the JSON and the XML would look a lot alike if we understand what an array is and what a object is, and it all fits together. But if we are going to something that has a lot more and more complicated semantics, then we're going to have to understand it before we can know what looks comparable.
So, yeah, and I think we'll find as we dig into it, you know, when you look at a lot of JSON-LD examples there, hey, look what we can do, right? I think as we look into it, we'll learn that Alex is right and that we can use JSON-LD alongside our otherwise vanilla JSON. and we really start to have a conversation about, you know, how are we linking various things together. And I know in the pest world, you tend to have these big, deep objects. That's not nearly as true for Access for Learning right now in their SIF specs.
Right.
We have a lot of objects that we link together, and so how things are linked is quite pivotal. And if we could find a more standard way of doing that, then, you know, our current, hey, it's a ref ID and you have a name and you go and look it up and the broker magically resolves it, it could be a really big win for us. And like that, we would look, you know, less odd to the outside world. So it's definitely worth a hard look.
I think that, yep. So I think that's our next step, is to everybody take the action item this week and try and bone up on Jason LD, see the tutorials, try and understand what it looks like, what a transfer would look like, what the typing does.
I'm about to go into a bunch of executive meetings next week, and I'm going to be, I'm building budget, 5-year budgets and like all that. My head is completely not in this space this week. And so I'm not even going to make it to next week's meeting, right? But I do have a, and I'm going to do this as well. I'm going to look to see among the various people I'm working with, I'm going to try and find like the best, like the most senior Jason developer kind of person I can find. That's hopefully at the architect level, right? And it would be good maybe to have some native Jason architect kind of people on this call, because I'm taking guesses based on looking at Jason that my teams have been producing and looking at examples on the web and that's dangerous, right? Because So I think having a native Jason LD architect and a native Jason architect who just uses vanilla Jason on the call and listening to them talk about it, at the risk of, you know, we might have to shoot them both in the head after the religious war gets out of hand, right? But you guys know what I mean, right? Having someone who actually is doing this and has been doing it would be extremely useful. And I have at least one engineer who works for me who's a Jason freak, right? And so I think he might be a good person to bring into the conversation. I'm going to see if I can get him on the call next Monday, maybe at least just to listen initially and answer specific engineering type questions about Jason. But maybe if people can look for people in their organization that are experts. That might be really useful, right?
The other thing, yeah. Alex, is Nathan Clinton did the Jason LD work that's published with the CVS elements. And I reached out to him and asked him if he could contribute, and he didn't get back to me. If you want to throw your weight behind that effort, I wouldn't mind.
Alex, it's Michael here. I've been trying to find somebody. In fact, I put out a call through the PESC membership. I was about to reach out to Stuart Sutton and Bob Sheets at the Credential Engine, because my feeling is Credential Engine is going to be Jason LD prime. And so that is going to cause sort of a wave that we don't want to be caught behind. But, you know, do you think reaching out to Stuart Sutton might be...
I think, to be totally frank, I think that might be a mistake, because they're the deeply embedded in the RDF world, and there's actually a little bit of a religious spat between RDF and Jason, right, and the Jason world right now. And I don't know where Stuart sits on that, but Stuart is firmly more in the RDF camp than the Jason camp, right? But he's very smart, and he knows about link data and this kind of stuff, so it might be that he would be a good person to reach out to. Actually, I take back everything I just said. Yeah, sure. Stuart would be great to talk to.
I know they're keen on RDF, and I don't understand, you know, if it's incompatible with JSON or not, but...
No, it's not incompatible, but they're competitive. Like, JSON LD does a lot of the things that RDF does, right? And so it's not the same. RDF is much more fluid language. It's a more of a language-y thing than JSON, which is more of an object-y thing, right? But there's a little religious war on the net between JSON LD people and RDF people.
That raises another question. I mean, if Credential Engine is going RDF, do we need to look at that as well?
No, absolutely not. here's why I say that. Is RDF is to HTML what SGML was. You know what I mean? It's really like a coding language, right? If we want to go for more simplicity, RDF is not the way to go, right? Because RDF is going in the direction of more complex than XML, right? It's you literally have to build your thing. It's like instead of having objects that can, you have to actually build a narrative about your object, right? That you're building. It's a more complex structure than either XML or JSON, and I think we don't want to move more to more complex. We want to move to less complex. And I expect, by the way, that Credential Engine will be expressing its RDF statements in JSON objects, is what I expect.
Well, yes, and also to let you know, Scott Cheney, the executive director of Credential Engine, wants to attend the JSON sessions at the meeting in San Francisco. You know, he expressed interest saying, you know, I'd actually like to be involved with that. And I said, oh, good.
Yep.
So, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up. Are the details on the San Francisco meetings on the website? Because I looked this morning and I couldn't find them.
I'm sorry, repeat the question?
The San Francisco meeting. Are the details on the website? I couldn't find them this morning.
I'm still waiting on the hotel. I'm about to call the hotel myself.
Okay.
We have the hotel name. They've agreed. I just don't have the contract in my bloody hands.
Okay. See to that hand.
Okay.
Okay, I think we could, unless somebody else wants to say something else, I don't want to go on to the next topic. I think where we got stuck is we started talking about namespace and then didn't quite understand how that applied in JSON LD and how we would do the translation. So we can continue this conversation next week, hopefully after we do some research, because I wasn't really looking at JSON LD seriously. So I guess I have to do that now, and I think we all have to do that. So that's the homework for next week. You can look at the W3C. There's a tentative standard out there for W3C for JSON LD.
Yeah, and Manu Spori, who's the guy who one of the people who worked on that standard for W3C, he has some very entertaining blogs about that. If you want some entertaining reading, that are also very informative about the design process.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good reading if you if you want to geek out a little bit about how standards get pulled together.
Right. Yeah, and
that is a really good summary about how standards get pulled together. Somebody sits down and does the work.
Somebody else takes credit.
Well, but yeah.
No.
As with all things.
No. Yeah, no shocker there.
No.
And I do want to say, Michael, I want to apologize if I came on strong in this meeting. I just didn't want to have the point lost that I believe that a threshold has been passed, and I really now strongly believe, even if it's a little painful, that we do have to go the JSON LD route. So I apologize if I was a little strong in my expression.
No, that's fine. No, I just like the simplicity. I mean, I understand my biases, too. I like the simplicity of JSON and starting to add semantics and building up a whole complicated structure like XML, you know, just goes in the, it means we're building another complicated XML, and they probably will add more keywords as time goes on, I suspect. And
that's why I like the simplicity of XML.
Yeah, the simplicity of XML, yeah. Because you can't, I mean, it's standard, it's been standard for a long time. This is dynamic, and it could change drastically over time.
Right.
Absolutely. This is risky. I really get it, by the way, and I really get, by the way, I was, like I said, I was literally on the edge of caving on the whole JSON-LD thing because of all those issues, but I just got convinced after the meeting in Canada and then after doing some research on what people are doing overseas, I'm like, oh, my God, pretty soon this is going to be – I really honestly believe that there will be more JSON-LD in the world than is going to be JSON. And that means – well, not overall, because people are still going to be building stupid games and apps and just pushing out JSON objects that have nothing but a set of elements in it, right? That's always going to be true. But I think for any serious enterprise applications, you're going to see a lot more JSON-LD, I think, in 5 years than you are just vanilla JSON. So, and the intent – and I know the intent behind building JSON-LD was to build a web – make JSON more web friendly and more services friendly, and I think that's what the enterprise architecture designers need. They need something that they can, you know, represent their more complex use cases. So I'm convinced now that that's the way to go. So, we need to do more research, and obviously, I'm going to see if I can get my guy to come to the meeting next week.
That would be fantastic.
I can also reach out to someone at W3C if anybody has contacts. I have a few.
You know, I could actually talk to Manu and see if I can get him to get on. That would be amazing because he was one of the people who designed JSON-LD. He's one of the design team of JSON-LD. So, actually, let me see if I can get a hold of Manu and see if I can convince him to come to our boat. I don't think he will. I think he's going to laugh at me when I ask. But let me see if I can bend his arm to actually come to the meeting.
That would be wonderful.
Great. No, I Alex, just to follow up, I think the market will determine where we go, and that, I mean, I think we have to follow the market. You don't want to select the technology that you don't want to select the Betamax or the Dvorak keyboard, and just because there's technological reasons to do that. We have to see where the market is going and join that. So I'm sure that's what's going to happen here. Okay, thank you, everybody. And this was an interesting meeting. It went a different way than I thought, but that's good. See you next week.
Okay, see you guys.
All right.
I won't see you next week.
Leaving the meeting.
John, love
it. Bye-bye.
Leaving the meeting.
Alex Chappell.
Leaving the meeting.
Michael.
Leaving the meeting.
Steve Marginow.
Leaving the meeting.
Jeff.
Leaving the meeting.
Stanford Mahon.